Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S., and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob, and this is the program where the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life, and we want to talk about how that happens. We have Andrew Farley with us. Andrew, welcome as always.
Hey, great to be with you, Bob.
Yeah, we are coming up on a very special day here in the United States of America, Thanksgiving, and just a time where we as a nation can pause and say thanks for all the blessings. But it really points to kind of our life of faith in Jesus Christ. Faith always says thank you. And as a matter of fact, one of the passages that I like so much in the Word of God is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting in verse 16, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And then it says this, that we are to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So oftentimes, Andrew, we are asking the question, what is the will of God? Well, here's one verse that tells us exactly what the will of God is, and that's for us to give thanks. And that really is an expression of faith, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no mystery about God's will. In fact, as you look through the New Testament, you find essentially God's will is Jesus, and we're bearing fruit in Him. He's saving us, and not just Jews, but Gentiles. We're expressing the will of God as we give thanks and brag on Jesus. And, you know, Bob, one of the things that I love about Hebrews is this passage in the 13th chapter. It talks about giving thanks, and it says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, and that is the fruit of lips that are praising His name. And you say, well, what's the context of that? I mean, why is it that I could continually give thanks? And he says that it's because of this sacrifice of Jesus, that I'm strengthened by grace, and that I have an altar from which the Old Testament priests could never eat. We have a sacrifice that is better than the sacrifice of bulls and goats. Jesus was offered outside the camp of religion. He suffered outside the gate. And that's just a beautiful image. I mean, think about where those bodies are burned and where Calvary was outside the gates of the city. And then you transpose that on today. We've got popular religion today. In the walls of religion, you're going to find a performance mentality. You're going to find forgiveness if you forgive first. You're going to find righteousness if you earn it. You're going to find God's favor if you deserve it. Those kind of ideas are inside the gate. But this Thanksgiving, Bob, we can be grateful that we've been invited outside the gate. We've been invited to Jesus Christ, and in Him, we're strengthened by His grace, we're forgiven forever by His sacrifice, and we're made righteous freely because of His love for us and through the resurrection. So I don't know about you, Bob. I guess I do know about you, but we're both excited this Thanksgiving because in Christ, we've always got so much to be thankful for.
Yeah, I was talking to a group of guys this morning, Andrew, and we were going through Psalm 103 about counting your blessings and the fact that our sins have been taken away from us as far as the east is from the west. And when you realize what Christ has done, these are for sure things. So our circumstances can change. They can be good one day, not so good the next. We can have feelings that go all over the place. But in the midst of those things, we have a rock that is unmovable. It's unshakable. It's just there. And that's the truth that we stand on. And regardless of what circumstances that we go through, we always have something to be grateful for. And that is the sacrifice of Christ. That is Christ Himself. We can always be thankful that He is right there with us every single step of the way. And, yes. boy, that really is an anchor for our souls and really helps us get through whatever life throws our way.
Yeah, the same passage says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever abandon you. And the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? So, you know, we may be thinking, gosh, if God really loved me, then I would have different circumstances. If God really loved me, I would have gotten that job. If God really loved me, then I wouldn't be hurting financially right now. Or if God really loved me, I wouldn't have to deal with this sickness or this illness. And we've all thought those thoughts, but what we have to recognize is that's not how God is spelling his love. He's never told us, hey, it's going to be perfect circumstances. Instead, the promise is, no matter what planet Earth throws your way, I will never desert you. I will never abandon you. And Bob, that means that we don't ever have to be afraid. The Lord is my helper. What will man do to me?
Yes, indeed. Well, we have a couple of people responding to us on YouTube, watching us on YouTube. Sharon writes this. She's celebrating her first Thanksgiving, knowing that she has a new heart, and it's wonderful, she says, and she gives thanks to Basic Gospel and to you, Andrew. And then our friend Clay writes, no matter what the circumstance, I thank God that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and will never be removed. That's truth, and that truth, man, just produces a heart of gratefulness, and that's what we can live in each and every day.
Yeah, the scripture says, don't be misled by strange teachings. And I love how the comments you just made, you know, you read those comments. And basically, they're saying, I grew up in some strange teachings. I was told my heart was wicked. I was told my heart was deceitful. I was in bondage to religiosity. And then it sounds like through Basic Gospel that over months and years, Bob, they got their minds renewed and they're just celebrating Jesus like never before. And again, it just brings us back to this beautiful passage. Don't be misled by strange teachings. It's good for the heart to be strengthened by God's grace.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is here as well. And we are glad you are here with us also. The number to call is 844-322-2742. Maybe you want to join in on the conversation about what it means to be thankful as a believer in Christ. We would love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. Andrew, we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in people's hands. It's our conference that we did back in October titled United. And boy, I tell you, if somebody listens through those messages, they will know exactly what it means to be grateful for all that Christ has done.
Yeah, I had the time of my life there together with you, and I think our excitement shows through in those sessions. You know, it was a high-energy weekend, and we hadn't seen a lot of our friends for quite some time, and the excitement just really shows. And I think as people get a hold of those sessions and start to listen, they will go free like never before. Maybe you already know the Basic Gospel. Maybe you've been following us for some time, weeks, months, even years. I got to tell you, there's nothing like getting it all in one package. I mean, a radio program here or there, you catch it at night, you catch it in the car, whatever. That's good and encouraging. But Bob, when we do a conference like this, it really helps people solidify the message in their minds, and it answers all the questions of what about this verse and what about that and what does this mean and how does this fit in? And we really covered the gamut, and this is a very comprehensive look at the gospel of grace, and I'm excited that we're putting it in people's hands.
Well, I am too, and I know it'll be a great encouragement to you. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month, and we certainly need your support. And I think when you really understand the grace of God, your heart just wants to overflow with gratitude, and your heart also wants to participate in giving so that others can know the joy of the freedom that they have in Christ Jesus. So let that grace move your heart to be a part of the Basic Gospel financial team so that others can get connected to the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And when you give your gift this month, you're going to get this wonderful conference sent to you. It's a digital download. All the instructions will be at our website. So go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button, follow the instructions, and then be sure to request your copy of United, and we'll send you a follow-up email and give you the download in that email. So thank you in advance for sharing in this work with us financially. That means the world to us. Yes. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is here with me. And, Andrew, let's go to our phone lines to Kevin, who's listening to us here in Dallas, Texas on The Word. Hi, Kevin. You're on Basic Gospel Radio.
Hey, Bob and Andrew. I sure do enjoy listening to both Grace Message and Basic Gospel programs. I kind of smile when I miss it, the program, and then I end up being able to go listen to it later on a walk or whatever on a podcast. Mm-hmm. So really appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
My question is about a prayer that I hear frequently. I have a favorite devotion that I read, and just a couple of days ago, it's talked about encouraging us to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that we would feel the presence of God more clearly. And I emailed the writer of that and just said, "Hey, do we believe that we're completely, you know, indwelt with the Holy Spirit all the time, that He's with us all the time, or why would we need to summon the Holy Spirit to come, Holy Spirit, and fill us?" Mm-hmm. And the response was the first one that I have ever received that made a little bit of sense. I wanted to just read a couple of short excerpt sentences and see what your thoughts are, because I really kind of think that I'm already filled with the Spirit as a believer. Mm-hmm. So it said, "This is being filled with, being indwelled with the Holy Spirit is in contrast to the filling of the Spirit referred to in Ephesians 5:18. We should be so completely yielded to the Holy Spirit that we can possess us, that He can possess us fully, and in that sense, fill us." And then later it says, "To be filled with the Spirit implies freedom for Him to occupy every part of our lives, guiding and controlling us." It goes on a little further, but I wanted to give those comments to you and see what you thought about that.
Yeah, you know, my take on this, Kevin, is that what you read there and received in response is fairly good. I mean, it's better than some things we've heard out there, but let's drill down on this and get really specific. I mean, without question, the Holy Spirit, all of Him, is received at salvation, and we are sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. We have everything we need for life and godliness. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And so even with this language that you received back, my friend, this idea of, well, God needs to possess you fully, I would push back on that and say, wait a minute, I'm a person of God's own possession. I've been bought with the precious blood of Christ, and He didn't buy part of me. He purchased all of me, and He lives in me, and He even says that my body is His temple, that my body is holy and acceptable to Him. So I'm not sure what part of me doesn't belong to God. That doesn't sound right, and it doesn't jive with Scripture. God already possesses us fully. We are set apart. And as far as occupying us, I mean, He cleaned house, and He moved in, and He took up residence in us. It's Christ in you, and you in Christ. And, you know, 1 Corinthians says anyone who's joined himself to the Lord is one spirit with Him. So I would push back on these ideas of God not possessing us fully and God not occupying us completely. In one sense, there's an aspect of what you heard that carries some truth to it, and that is that Ephesians is not talking about getting more of God's Spirit. It is in context actually talking just about being inspired by the love of God. And as we get to know you know, the height and depth and width and breadth of the love of Christ, then it says we'll be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. That's not getting more of the Spirit. That's just getting excited about the Spirit. That's just being inspired and motivated by the gigantic love of God. So when you read in Acts, you know, so-and-so filled with the Spirit said, so-and-so filled with the Spirit did this or did that, what that means is so-and-so was absolutely enamored with and inspired by and motivated by the love of Christ to the point that they couldn't help but share it with other people. And so that's what Ephesians is communicating. We don't need more of the Spirit as if he's going to come to us from the outside. He already lives on the inside. But because he lives on the inside, over time, we're going to be learning and growing in this dependency and trust. And Bob, I would say, you know, that's an adventure. I mean, we're forgiven and we're righteous all along the way, but we do learn to depend on him more. And I think that's exciting.
Yes, it is exciting. And, you know, as I was listening, Kevin, to what you were reading, it sounds like, you know, the guy's using being filled with the Spirit to push somebody to kind of a lordship experience. You know, I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and now, as you know, to be filled, I'm going to make him the Lord of my life. And you know, I think we have to stop and say, wait a minute, he's already the Lord of my life. Why? Because he is Lord, and we get the experience of living life to the full and being filled with the Spirit, being under his leadership and his inspiration and his motivation and his power, then we get to live this abundant life to the full. And that's exciting. And that's, as you said, Andrew, an adventure that's an everyday adventure.
Yeah. So, you know, the folks who bring out the cup analogy and they say, oh, my cup is half full, and then they start filling it, and then they say eventually it'll overflow to other people after you finally get filled. I mean, that sort of stuff falls short because it neglects the truth that we have every spiritual blessing, that we're complete in Christ, that we're lacking nothing, that we have everything we need for life and godliness. So when you put those truths together front and center, then we're showcasing the finished work of Christ. It's not just that he died for your sins. It's that he equipped you for new life. It's not just that he hung on a cross to take away your sins forever. It's also that he rose from the dead to live in you and equip you for every day by the life of his Spirit inside of you. So don't imagine getting more of anything. It's just relationship. And as you grow in that trust, I mean, you enjoy him more, you relax more, you grow in grace more. It doesn't make you more righteous, but it sure does make you more sensible and content.
Yes, indeed. Kevin, does that help?
Absolutely. Super inspirational, and I love the references to those scriptures. I love that one about that we've received everything that we need for life and godliness. It just sort of wraps it all together.
Yes, yeah. It does. That's a powerful passage indeed.
Yeah.
Well, we sure appreciate your call, and love your heart and your discernment, my friend, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too, guys.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. Let's go to Pittsburgh. All right. Before we go to Pittsburgh, Andrew.
Hey, I just had one more thought, Bob, that I thought might be fun to kick around. I mean, you know, growing up, I heard that analogy of God is already occupying some rooms in your life. I'm sure you've heard this. Going from room to room to room. And it sounds like Kevin got a little dose of that in one form or another from the email he received. You know, God's occupying some rooms, but you're hiding something in the closet, and here comes Jesus, the janitor, and he's going to find it. And God only owns part of you, not all of you. And, you know, that sort of stuff, it makes for a flashy sermon. But at the end of the day, we've got to come back to God's word and say, wait a minute, I belong to God. I'm a person of his possession. I'm in his family. I'm a child of God. He's not dividing me up into compartments. He lives in me and I live in him. And, you know, it's tempting to go with those flashy analogies, but at the end of the day, my goodness, it's the truth that's going to set us free.
Yeah, I think Paul kind of puts an exclamation on that, saying, you and I are complete in Christ.
Yes.
I think that's a pretty powerful passage.
Yes.
Well, let's go to David in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, David. You're on Basic Gospel Radio.
Hi, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you as well, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Hey, guys, about the prodigal son, okay? Can you guys break that down for me, please? I kind of see, you know, it's coming back to the father, okay? I was wondering if it's really like trusting the father or, you know, can you guys break that down, please?
Okay, I see. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You got two brothers, and one of them is wandering out in sin, and the other one is staying home. I can't help but think that there's a meaning there related somewhat to Jews and Gentiles. You've got the Gentiles who are really, you know, out there, and then you've got the Jews who have always historically been close. I mean, the scripture says that the gospel has been preached to those who are far away and to those who are near. So it's an interesting thing when you start putting the Jew-Gentile idea into this prodigal son story. And secondly, I would just say we're tempted to put ourselves in it and go, oh my goodness, which son am I? And, you know, I'm not sure that that's always safe to do. I think sometimes we need to just let the words of Jesus speak to us. And my favorite part, Bob, I'd love to hear what you gleaned from this as well. But my favorite part is the fact that, you know, this son, this prodigal son, has his speech rehearsed and he has his speech ready. And he's going to give this long, drawn out apology about how he's a dirty worm and he's not worthy to work for his father or be his child, but he could just act as a servant and, you know, basically begging and pleading and groveling. And of course, he doesn't even get to deliver 1 ounce of his speech. The father sees him from afar, says, bring the robes. My son is home. He celebrates him and he won't allow the groveling. he instead is ready to celebrate his child. And to me, okay, that's the biggest takeaway of all is here's the love of the father. He's not looking for our many words. He wants us to see his big heart for us.
Yes, indeed. And like you said, the speech is all about, hey, I'm you know, not worthy to even be one of your servants. And, you know, the older son kind of felt the same way, that he was unworthy. And both of them had this inferiority complex and didn't understand who they were in relationship to the dad. And so they doubted, how the dad was going to treat him. They doubted the love of the father.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we do so often in our lives. We doubt the love of the father. And that's why we need to keep looking back to Jesus and what he accomplished for us, because, through the lens of the cross and the resurrection, we see clearly the love of God. And we can keep that. We can come to the point and really fully embrace who we are as children of the King. And boy, that's when we truly get to rejoice and celebrate the love of the Father like no other time. It's just amazing. So,
amen. Yeah.
Wow. Great. Thanks a lot, guys. God bless, buddies.
Hey, David, thanks for your call. Happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend.
Happy and Thanksgiving to you and your families. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless. Well, Andrew, happy Thanksgiving to you. I know you're going to have a special time with your family, and I'm sure thankful for you, my friend.
Oh, I'm grateful for you as well, Bob, and it's been a great time today celebrating Jesus, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there listening.
Yes, indeed, and we are certainly grateful for you, our listeners and our supporters. It's a wonderful family of people that God has pulled together to help bring this good news of Jesus out there into the marketplace through Basic Gospel. So a heartfelt thanks to each and every one of you. Happy Thanksgiving. Just enjoy your family. Celebrate the love of Christ for you. Celebrate the fact that you are forgiven, righteous, holy, alive, and indwelt by God Himself. That is the good news of the gospel, and that's something that generates a heart full of faith. Well, for the entire Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back on Monday for another live edition. We'll see you then.